told her you weren't supposed to. As she thought about this, she realised that the happy trout had swum away. But something else was in the water only a few inches from her face. It was a round basket, no bigger than half a coconut shell, coated with something to block up the holes and make it float. A little man, only 6 inches high, was standing up in it. He had a mass of untidy red hair, into which a few feathers, beads and bits of cloth had been woven. He had a red beard, which was pretty much as bad as the hair. The rest of him, that wasn't covered with blue tattoos, was covered with a tiny kilt. And he was waving a fist at her and shouting, "Crivens! Gang awa out to here, you daft wee hinny! Where the green heed?" And with that, he pulled at a piece of string that was hanging over the side of his boat, and a second red-headed man surfaced, gulping air. "Nay time for fishing," said the first man, hauling him aboard. "The green heed's coming." "Crivens," said the swimmer, water pouring off him. "Let's off-ski." And with that, he grabbed one very small oar, and with rapid back-and-forth movements, made the basket speed away. "Excuse me," Tiffany shouted, "are you fairies?" But there was no answer. The little round boat had disappeared in the reeds. Probably not, Tiffany decided. Then, to her dark delight, there was a susurrus. There was no wind, but the leaves on the alder bushes by the river bank began to shake and rustle. So did the reeds. They didn't bend, they just blurred. Everything blurred, as if something had picked up the world and was shaking it. The air fizzed. People whispered behind closed doors. The water began to bubble just under the bank. It wasn't very deep here. It would only have reached Tiffany's knees if she'd paddled, but it was suddenly darker and greener and, somehow, much deeper. She took a couple of steps backwards just before long, skinny arms fountained out of the water and clawed madly at the bank where she'd been. For a moment, she saw a thin face with long, sharp teeth, huge round eyes and dripping green hair like waterweed, and then the thing plunged back into the depths. By the time the water closed over it, Tiffany was already running along the bank to the little beach where Wentworth was making frog pies. She snatched up the child just as a stream of bubbles came around the curve in the bank. Once again the water boiled, the green-haired creature shot up, and the long arms clawed at the mud. Then it screamed and dropped back into the water.
"I want to go a toilet!" screamed Wentworth.
Tiffany ignored him. She was watching the river with a thoughtful expression. "I'm not scared at all," she thought. "How strange. I ought to be scared, but I'm just angry. I mean, I can feel the scared, like a red-hot ball, but the angry isn't letting it out."
"Wanna go a toilet!"
Wentworth shrieked. "Go on, then," said Tiffany absent-mindedly. The ripples were still sloshing against the bank. There was no point in telling anyone about this. Everyone would just say, "What an imagination the child has," if they were feeling in a good mood, or "Don't tell stories," if they weren't. She was still very angry. How dare a monster turn up in the river, especially one so ridiculous? Who did it think she was? This is Tiffany walking back home. Start with the boots. They are big and heavy boots, much repaired by her father, and they'd belonged to several sisters before her. She wore several pairs of socks to keep them on. They are big. Tiffany sometimes feels she is nothing more than a way of moving boots around. Then there is the dress. It has been owned by many sisters before her, and has been taken up, taken out, taken down, and taken in by her mother so many times that it really ought to have been taken away. But Tiffany rather likes it. It comes down to her ankles, and whatever colour it had been to start with is now a milky blue, which is, incidentally, exactly the same colour as the butterflies skittering beside the path. Then there is Tiffany's face. Light pink, with brown eyes and brown hair. Nothing special. Her head might strike anyone watching, in a saucer of black water, for example, as being just slightly too big for the rest of her, but perhaps she'd grow into it. Then go further up, and further, until the track becomes a ribbon, and Tiffany and her brother two little dots, and there is her country. They call it the Chalk. Green downlands roll under the hot midsummer sun. From up here, the flocks of sheep moving slowly drift over the short turf like clouds on a green sky.
Here and there, sheepdogs speed over the turf like comets.